hold up your Bible this morning. If you have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, maybe scooch up next to somebody that does, get to know your neighbor. But we like to say this around here before we get into the Word, just to make this confession, because we believe that the Word of God is the key. And this is God's Word speaking to you. So let's hold up our Bibles and say this. This is my Bible. The Bible is God's Word. The Bible is God's Word speaking to me. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My body is awake. I will receive from the engrafted seed of God's Word. And I will not leave you the same in Jesus' name. Now tap your neighbor with your Bible real softly. Make sure they're awake. We like to do that. I would like for you to, first of all, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Today we're going to be talking about and teaching along this line of the kingdom of God. Today, Israel is our spotlight missions that we're spotlighting this morning. And we need to understand that most of the New Testament, Paul, in fact, was making his circuit around the churches, and he was talking about the kingdom of God. And he was trying, his prayer actually was that all Israel would be saved. And the salvation that Paul preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. See, the Jewish person, back in that time, they thought the kingdom of God was going to come with observation, that it was going to be a literal kingdom with kingdoms set up. And they did not catch the fact that Jesus said, the kingdom of God, praise God, is within you. When Jesus came saying that. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the kingdom of God and see what Jesus told us about the kingdom. Jesus said, before he left the earth, in the book of Acts, that he spoke to his disciples concerning things pertaining unto the kingdom. And so we're going to look at some things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And this morning, before you leave, I want you to be so aware this morning of seed time and harvest. That's what I want you to really, I want the rest of this day for you to realize the importance of seed time and harvest. Because that is the principle of the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people love to hear about the seed, and the Word of God is the seed, and they love to hear about the harvest. How many of us want our harvest? Amen? We love harvest. We want harvest. But you know what? There's a time between seed planting and harvesting. And in that time period is the time where most Christians lose their harvest. It's in that time where the devil will come to steal the Word. Or they're not taught, many people are not taught what to do in that time when the seed is germinating and the seed is growing. This seed wants to grow. This seed wants to produce fruit. And God wants us to get a harvest. He wants our harvest to come. He wants to bring us to bring that harvest to Him. And God is a wonderful God. God is a good God. The devil's a bad devil, but God is a good God. And we need to understand that God loves us and He wants you to have a harvest. He wants you to have a good harvest. He wants you to have fruit in your life. Spiritual as well as natural fruit. And so we're going to talk this morning about the kingdom, and I want you to pay close attention to seed time and harvest. So in Acts chapter 1, let's look there and we'll read there in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We'll start out here teaching In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking," now here it is, "and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Look at that real closely. He said, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, the definition of the kingdom of God is this. When I talk about the kingdom of God, it is this. It's the realm in which God's reign is experienced. A present realm where men and women may enjoy the blessings of God's rule. That is the kingdom in this context. Now, I know, and I've been in Bible school, and I know that there are, you know, we're not talking about heaven. Heaven is a real place. And when we leave this body, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Aren't you glad that this is not all there is? We're just living in these earth suits for a time. The real you is on the inside. The real you is the new creature, born again. The Bible says a new creature, that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so the real you I'm speaking to you is, I'm not speaking to the outer man, I'm speaking to the inner man. So the real you is inside this shell, looking out of these eyeballs. And the real you is fed by the Word of God. The real you is what is being renewed day by day. The flesh is growing older. I hate to say that and tell you that, but it is. The flesh is corrupting, but the spirit is being renewed day by day. And God communicates to us through our spirit. Amen. And that's why it's so important to hear the Word of God. Whatever church you go to, whenever you're looking for a church, find a church that's preaching the Word of God. Find a church that when you leave, you feel fed. You feel like you've eaten a meal. You feel like the Lord has spoken to you, and God has given you a rhema word. That you walk home, or you drive in your car, and you know that you've heard the voice of God speaking to you. And something that can get you through the rest of the week, because we need something to get us through the rest of the week. And praise God, we do have help. We've got the Holy Ghost on the inside. We've got the Parakletos, the one that's called alongside to help us, the revealer of truth, and the person of the Holy Ghost on the inside. And we as Spirit-filled believers recognize that, and we know that we can't make it in this life just by our own devices and by our own strength. We need help. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the same Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost, that filled all the house where they were sitting. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we believe in that. We believe in the being Spirit-filled. But there's a reason we're Spirit-filled. It's so that we can get revelation from God's Word. I believe this, that revelation without manifestation, we need it. We need revelation and manifestation. Because illumination comes with revelation. And we get illuminated to the Word of God. So this realm in which I'm talking about is the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians, and you can write in the back of your bulletin, there's a place for you to write some of these scriptures down. So I want you, if I'm too fast, too quick, write these scriptures down and look them up later. I'll try to, go as slow as I can, but I'm excited. So I may get to preach on me, too, once in a while. Just like an anointing, like a coat comes on me, and I begin to preach. And I love that. I love when that happens, but it says the Lord wills. Praise God. So, but the kingdom of God, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So in a very real sense, you have been translated, the real you have been translated into the kingdom of God. And that kingdom, which we just made that definition, is the realm in which God's reign is experienced. A present realm where men may enjoy the blessings of God's rule. God wants you to enjoy the blessings of His rule. It's a very real realm, but we cannot get into that realm. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, you must be born again. In order to see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born? Nicodemus was thinking naturally, like many people do, but Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nor can he enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again, because spirit has to be born again into spirit. And God is a spirit. And I'm speaking this morning spiritual things, and so you must get them by the Spirit. Now, I've been in college, and I've studied, and I've been studied under the great thinkers of our time in philosophy, but nothing can compare with revelation of God's Word. Nothing can compare with the name of Jesus. It's so wonderful. So we need to realize that we have been translated into the kingdom. So if we, in fact, have been translated into the kingdom, and we have, and Jesus, before he left the earth, he spoke to his disciples things pertaining to the kingdom. And so we need to let the Holy Ghost teach us about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If we are in that realm of the kingdom of God, we need to know how to live in that realm. We need to know how to operate in that realm. Would you agree? We need to know what that realm is and what is the foundation of that realm. And the foundation of that realm is seed time and harvest. Plain and simple. It's seed time in harvest. You know, I'm from Iowa. I grew up in Iowa. And in the gently rolling hills of Iowa, you go down these country roads, and in a certain time of year, you'll see miles and miles, miles and miles, as far as I can see, of fields of corn. And in July, they say knee-high by the 4th of July, because there's a planting season, and around 4th of July, it should be knee-high, because it grows. But those farmers know this, and boy, I tell you what, if you're a farmer, how many of you are farmers in here? Carol, I know, I mean, you've been in Iowa, and you know, but a farmer knows more than anybody else that there is a planting time, there is a watering time, and there is a harvest time. And any farmer knows that when he plants that seed in the ground, October, Carol? I forget when they plant. Planting season, there's a planting season. He knows that his crop isn't going to come up the next day. He knows that it would be futile for him to go back into that field after he's planted that corn and dig it up and say, why, oh why, God, has not the corn come up? Why do I not see corn? I planted corn. I'm never going to do this again. I'll never plant another corn seed again because I planted it and I rested one day and I got up and it's still in the ground. But he knows that there is a seed, there's a time, and there's a harvest. You see, the kingdom of God, the whole principle of the kingdom of God is seed, time, and harvest. And your harvest, which you all want to harvest, how many of you in here have things in your life that you want changed? Can you say that? How many of you have hopes and dreams that you're believing God for? How many of you lay at bed at night and you dream about something different than what you have right now? How many of you have a desire in your heart for something better than what you have right now? How many of you, you know, lay at bed at night and go, God, could this really be that you want me to have something different than what I have? I'm here to tell you, and this is a word from God. Yes, God does. Because he's a good God, and those desires come from God. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you, what? The desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So we all have desires, and we all have things that we want changed in our lives. And I'll say this, this is one of my favorite quotes, but if we keep on doing what we're doing, we're going to keep on getting what we're getting. But if we change what we're doing, we're going to change what we're getting. If you're tired of the crop that you're getting in your life, you have to change the seeds that you're planting. Because everyone has the same playing field. God is no respecter of persons. God has no favorites. For whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. Whatever seeds have been sown in your life or seeds you have sown, you are a product today of the seeds that you were sowing in your life. It's very simple. It's a very simple principle of seed, time, and harvest. You know, sometimes we look at other people and we go, wow, if I could ever, I'll never be able to do what they're doing. I could never do that. Look at them. I put them up on a pedestal. Look at them. But you know what? There's no difference between them and you. The only difference is they got maybe a little more serious about planting some seeds. And maybe they got a little sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe they just kind of got sick of being beat around by the devil all the time and began to get into this and realize this, that they need to plant seeds in order for the seed to grow. You know, when you plant, we used to do this when we were children in biology class. The teacher would give us a cup full of dirt. And she would give us a lima bean. You ever do that in biology class? All of us have done it, I'm sure. And she said, plant this seed in the ground, in this soil. And then you water it. You water that seed. And they would put it up on a shelf. And we as students would watch that cup for days. We'd watch it with great anticipation. We would go home that day and we'd say, Mommy, Daddy, I planted a seed today. And they'd say, well, that's fine. That's great, son. That's great, honey. That's great. You'd go back to class that same day and look up on that shelf and that cup would still be there with your name, with a crayon on it. Remember that name with a red crayon on it? Susie, Julie, Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy. And so there it would be. There it would sit, and we loved that cup. That was my cup. But I didn't know what that bean was doing. But if I had eyes to see, if I had eyes to see and I could see in the earth, if I had spiritual eyes that I could, I had Superman visual eyes that I could zoom in and see the inside of that cup. I'm talking about spiritual things right now. See, we have spiritual eyes. We have natural eyes, but you've got spiritual eyes. See, Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. But if I could have seen inside of that little cup, I would have seen that when I watered that seed, see, that seed before was just an old dried up seed. She gave it to us, we plopped it in that soil, but we began to water it, and something about water made conception with this seed, and there's something about water that did something to that seed. There's something about water that changes a seed. Now the bean crop was in that seed, but it had to do some changes. There was some time, see. And if I could see that seed, what happens is, and they've seen this in time-lapse photography, once that seed is watered, it's sitting like this, and it'll begin to shift. It'll begin to turn. Why? It begins to turn because the first thing that happens with that seed is roots appear. And the roots don't go up, they go down. And so the seed begins to turn. Mm-mm-mm. That seed is alive, you see. That seed was alive all along, but something about watering that seed. That seed began to make a turn. It began to turn itself so that the roots would go down, because the roots had to go first, because the stem would come up, but the root had to go down first. There's a root system in the kingdom of God. And in time, when I faithfully watered that seed, everybody did it at the same time. Now, kids, it's time to get up and water your seeds. And we get up and water our cups. All of you have cups this morning in your lives. All of you have seeds. All of us have seeds in our lives that have been planted. There's something that happened when that water touched that seed. It began to change. And something began to happen inside that seed. And the bean tree that was inside that seed was waking up. And the root began to grow down. And once that root system got to a certain level, then the stem began to pop up. And then, lo and behold, wonder of wonders, after a certain time, you'd look in that shelf, and there'd be a little green leaf. Remember that? A little green stem. And you'd go, wow, my bean is growing. But the bean didn't grow right then. The bean grew before you saw it, your physical eye. See, your harvest, you see, is in that seed. But so many Christians, they cast away their seed and they throw away their cup before the harvest comes. But there's no difference of anybody in here today. The seed still works. The seed is alive, and the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God in the kingdom. The seed is the Word of God. And the principle of the kingdom of God is seed time and harvest. We all want harvest. And harvest time is when you see with your eyes what you've been hoping for. It's when you have the evidence and the substance of what you're believing for. After all, the writer of Hebrews said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So all this mixes with our faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So God uses this faith that He's given. Even our faith is from God. So we have nothing to be prideful about. Even the faith to believe is from God. But I feel the word this morning for you that are here, that God wants you to be encouraged. Don't get discouraged right now when you don't see your crop, when you don't see the green leaf coming up. Don't get discouraged. Be as patient as that farmer and be patient and diligent to keep watering that seed, because God wants you to know that harvest is just around the corner. The harvest is going to come up and you're going to see the fruit of the seed that has been planted in your life. If you don't cast away your seed, don't cast away your seed, because the seed is working. Let's look in Luke chapter 17. Go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17 and let's read here. in Luke chapter 17, the Gospel of Luke, and verse 20. Verse 20. It says, Luke chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation,'" or that is, visible evidence, "'neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" The kingdom of God is within you. See, the Pharisees were demanding of him, saying, "When is the kingdom of God coming? When is this great kingdom coming?" And Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." But if they were not born again, they couldn't see the kingdom of God. Jesus already, in John chapter 3, he recorded that. He told Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you can't see." Unless a person's born again, they don't see things in the Word. They can't. You cannot read this Bible like you would a novel. Because this Word that you have before you is inspired. It was given by inspiration. And this Word gives you rhema, it teaches, and you get fed spiritually. That's why it's so good, it's so important to go to a church where you hear the Word. You get fed by hearing the Word. You get fed and you discover what God's will is for your life when you hear the Word of God, when you hear the Word preached and taught. Go with me over to the Gospel of Mark. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. And let's look at this a little bit closer about the kingdom of God and the seed. Mark chapter 4, and starting at verse 26. Mark chapter 4, and starting at verse 26. When you get there, say amen. Okay. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says, Jesus said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" Here it is, verse 31. "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Okay, now from there, go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. And Luke records this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 10. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. I'd love to hear all those pages rustling and turning. Luke chapter 8. See, one day when the church gets to a certain size, we're going to have PowerPoint. We're going to have big things in the back. So, you know, the Word of seen, you know. Wouldn't it be great? We're going to have a big screen there so you can see the Word. And so, Luke chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, it says this, "Jesus said, Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." Jesus said right there, seed, time, and harvest. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The writer of Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is alive, just like that bean seed. But you see, we've got to see ourselves, and I want you to see yourself this morning, and I don't know how many other churches this morning the pastor will say this like this, but I want you to see yourself as dirt. Soil. I want to see yourself as soil. You are soil. You are soil. The body is comprised, scientists or nurses, doctors, whatever, they say the body is comprised of something like, how many, 70% water? How many nurses in here? Everybody knows that? Something like that. It's a very high percentage. If this body, all the water was taken out of it, all you have is dust. Basically, all you have is dirt, you see. We've got to understand that the seed of God's Word has to be planted first. Where is it planted? In the soil of our heart. Now, when we plant the seed in the soil of our heart, first it has to come through our eyes or through our ears. There's certain gates that the Word has to get through. Our eyes, our ears, and our mouth is also a gate in which the Word of God can be planted in the soil of your heart. See, when you hear a scripture preached in a church, don't ever say, well, I've heard that again, I don't need to hear that. That's still the Word. Through your eyes, through your ears, out of your mouth, the gates, you see, the entrances to your heart. We're talking about the soil. The most important place is the soil, the place where that Word gets germinated, the place where that Word gets watered. Because, see, your harvest is going to come from that seed, and you're going to get your harvest from that seed of God's Word. But it's got to be harvested, and it's got to spring forth. You see? It's got to be planted. But my experience has been that the Christians have the hardest time, and they lose the victory, not at seed planting and not at harvest time, but in that time in between. Seed, time, and harvest. See, the thief comes to steal the Word. He doesn't care so much about our personality and who we are, but he does care about the Word. He does not want the Word to be planted. He does not want that Word that you are hearing this morning to take root. He does not want that Word of God that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, to take root, you see. Because once that seed takes root in your life, and once that seed, by his stripes ye were healed, takes root, and once that seed begins to grow, and once that seed grows from a seed to a tree, once that seed begins to spread out its branches, once that seed that was once a dried up seed begins to manifest itself as an oak tree full of healing, and you begin to have fruit on your branches, and people will come by you and pick it off and eat that fruit and say, I want some of that. Well, you say, the root of that seed goes back to Jesus. The root of that seed, all that authority, all that energy goes right back to Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I sense the anointing this morning. I sense His presence. The Holy Ghost is trying to teach us something here. The Holy Ghost wants you to get your harvest more than you want to get your harvest. The Holy Ghost wants you shouting the praise when you get your harvest more than you think you want your harvest. God wants you to have more than enough, more than you think you want more than enough. God wants you to have abundance of fruit in your life. Woo! Wouldn't it be great if we could just have an abundance of the fruit of love in our lives? I mean, just come out of church just all loaded down with love. What about joy? Instead of just having a little revival of joy, why don't we just have an overload of joy, fruit of joy? Why don't we just have to, I have to have Scott and me carry it between a pole, between us. So much fruit. See, there's fruit that God wants us to have, and that fruit, it comes from the seed of God's Word. Mm-mm-mm. But in that time, the thief comes. The thief is an accuser. Revelation says he's the accuser of the brethren. When you're in that time period, when you've planted that seed and you come to a good church like this, and you hear God's Word, and the Word is planted in your heart, and then before that harvest comes, there's a time, you see. And in that time, the thief comes as a roaring, he's not a roaring lion, he comes as a roaring lion. He doesn't have any teeth, he makes you think he does have teeth. You see, he makes himself all puffed up like a big hot air balloon, but just one little needle punctured into that balloon will explode the whole thing. All he is a bunch of hot air. He's just a liar. In fact, I say this all the time, anything the devil has told you, the opposite is true. If the devil told you you're going under, you're going over. If the devil told you, you're going to die, you got cancer, you're not going to make it, guess what? You're going to be healed, you're going to make it, you're going to go over. Praise God. But in that time period, the thief does come. What do we do in that time? Genesis 8:22, you can write this down or turn there. Genesis 8:22 says this, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Genesis 8:22. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Okay, so we've established this morning the seed, and we've established the harvest. And everybody loves harvest. Everybody loves seed. But there's time. And I know from experience, sometimes that time, you're all alone. It seems like you're all alone. In that time, there's no voices saying, good job. There's no pat on the back saying, you're going to get it. You're going to make it. There's a time, you see, that the only comforter sometimes you have is the Holy Ghost. Putting his arm around you and whispering in your ear, saying, the Word of God is alive. And if you remember this sermon, anything about it, remember that seed on that shelf with your cup, with your name on a crayon, on that shelf. If there's nothing else you remember about this teaching, remember that that seed is so valuable. It's so important. In fact, it is life and death. The seed is the Word of God. Now, in that time period, the Holy Ghost taught me something, and this is the greatest thing, probably one of the greatest lessons he's ever taught me about this time, this between seed time and harvest. Because I was tired of seeing everybody else get their harvest. I was tired of everybody else standing up saying, oh, I was once sick, and now I'm healed, and wow, now, you know, look at this. And I thought, what's wrong with me? I began to get a little envious. I began to think, well, God, you love them more than you love me. But he doesn't. He loves you just as much as he loves me. He loves April just as much as he loves Carol. He loves you just as much. But he wants to get this across to us, what to do in that time. Okay, you planted the seed. By his stripes you were healed. Or you planted the seed. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. My God is a God of more than enough. You know, you planted that seed. Now, Here's the most important thing the Lord taught me. Many Christians have written books about it, and I think Joyce Meyer wrote a book about it. But the battleground is in your thought life. The battleground is not waged on wars here and abroad, in foreign soil, in soil that you can put in your hand, like peat moss, like we used to in Iowa. The battleground is in your thought life. That area of your thoughts and your thinking, and your soulish realm, where we need to understand we've got to protect with the helmet of salvation and the armor of God in order to stand in that time. And not only stand, keep watering that seed until the harvest comes. But what do you do? 3 John 2, and I'm just going to quote this because the hour is getting quick. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Now, if he wished this above all things, this is pretty important. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." But he didn't stop there. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Here it is. "Even as your soul prospers." In other words, he was saying, I want you to be prosperous and in health, but unless your soul is prosperous and in health, you're not going to get that harvest of prosper and health. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." And we hear that and it's preached and we're like, oh yeah, woo, I want to be prosperous and in health. But then we forget, even as your soul prospers. You see, we've got to understand that the seed of God's Word has to be planted. And we have to think about it. We have to think about that Word. And when a contrary thought comes of discouragement, that you're not going to have it, that it's not going to happen, that you're a nobody, look what you did, look what you didn't do, oh, it's never going to happen, oh, and the devil's just painting all these pictures that you're of failure, that you're not going to make it, We've got to do something. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. One of the greatest lessons the Holy Ghost ever taught me, and this, then we'll close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We've got to use weapons, and we do have weapons at our disposal. But unless you know about it, you won't be able to use them. So that's what I want to tell you, that each one of you in here, you have weapons of your warfare. Because it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith. It's not a bad fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith. And so we have weapons of our warfare. The Holy Ghost wouldn't leave us just defenseless. So he gave us some tools. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Everybody say this out loud. Pulling down. Casting down. There's a very important lesson here that thoughts contrary to the word will come. The seed that you planted, I guarantee, because Jesus said, the thief comes. Not if, or maybe, he will come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And what he uses is thoughts contrary to the word of God. In the very beginning, it's been the same thing. Did not the devil, the serpent, say to Adam and Eve, "Has God said?" In the very beginning, "Has God said, don't partake of the fruit?" Now, why don't you question that, devil? "Has God said? Has God said?" And even when Jesus was on the earth, the Son of God, in his 40-day fasting, the devil came to Jesus and said, "If you be the Son of God, if you're hungry, turn this bread. Turn these stones into bread." What did Jesus use? The Word of God. He said, "It is written." And so in effect, Jesus was using the weapons of his warfare. He pulled down that thought. He defeated the devil every time, and you can too. If you use the Word of God every time, say, "It is written." Now, how do you say "it is written"? Well, if you're driving your car out loud, say, "In the name of Jesus, the Word of God says, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The Bible says, the Word of God, it is written, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." I say it all the time. My angels are going for it. I have big angels, and so do you. If you can look into the spirit realm, I've got two big Mr. Clean angels behind me. I'm not afraid of somebody coming in here. I mean, I've got ushers that'll help protect me, but I've got supernatural help, praise God. I know that my angels are in back of me, just watching over the word to perform it. And when I say angels, go forth, praise God, and carry back what I need, they go back with a flash of light, and they're going, because the Bible says they hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. And there are angels all around this room right now, and some of your angels have been staying at a standstill because you haven't been saying out of your mouth the Word of God. But if you will say with your mouth the Word of God, it will put those angels to flight, and they will go forth, and they will bring back and carry back that which you need. As here is the promise. That's a good word. I'm going to get the tape. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I do. I need this just as much as anybody else. But listen to this. This is what the Lord taught me. Victory in your thought life brings victory in life. Victory in your thought life brings victory in life. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. Healing. Healing in your thought life. The Word of God will bring healing in your life. You can't just come to church and hear the word on healing and then go walk out the door and drive down the road thinking of yourself as sick and talking sick and saying out of your mouth, "Oh, I'm sick. I'm always going to be sick. I come along from a long line of sick. My daddy was sick. My mama was sick. My brother was sick. So I'm just going to be sick." No, you don't have to be sick. Death and life are the power of the tongue. You can change what you got by changing something. If you're tired of the crop you're getting, change the seed that you're planting. And you can get a crop and a harvest. Praise God. So prosperity in your thought life brings prosperity in life. You know, you even hear people in the world that are successful. Every principle that the world uses to be successful comes from biblical principles. Do you know that? Every principle that the world uses to be successful comes from biblical principles. They just take Jesus out of it. That's what they do. But you'll hear successful businessmen saying that they lost it all, and then a year later, they got it back. They were a millionaire, and they lost it all. And the next few years, you'd ask them to say, well, I never thought about giving up. I knew I was going to be successful. I saw myself as successful. It didn't matter to me what happened. I could see it. I knew it. I was going to go for it, and it just came to pass. If the world uses biblical principles, we of all people, sons and daughters of God, should use His principles, God's Word. Praise God. And so I began to just say, I'm the healed of the Lord, when I was sick in my body, because I knew that seed was growing. And today I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what the Bible says. And I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So can you. There's no difference between any of us. We're all...